Good morning. Good morning, dear listeners. I think it's the right time to thank Matthias Sangara. It's the right time to thank Matthias Sangara. And it's a time for Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And I think one of the things that I took, especially from the conversation of Matthias Sangara, is the importance of analysis, the importance of looking at things from various perspectives. And also the importance of, looking at the story, looking at the content, and also try to apply your mind, and also, not to be judgmental. Don't preempt, the results, because it's always very difficult to find out the truth about the truth. It's always very difficult to find out the truth about the truth. That is why those who, are familiar with, the law, they will be able to tell you that even somebody who is called an accused, still innocent until proven guilty by the neutral court of law. That's why it's always very important, especially to us who are in the media, and also to those who deal with data and also information, to make sure that verify, analyze, look at what is that, what is the content of that, and also what is the contribution of that who you think, made that, decision. Because sometimes it's not always good to be judgmental, but always try to make sure that, you analyze, you look at issues from various perspectives, because the truth is the truth. It's not about what you want. It's not about how you want it to appear. But it's what it is. It's what it is. So that is what we can take from Matthias Sangara. And the time is 4 minutes past the hour of six, and we are progressing with Early Morning Scoop. We are greeting you from your number one favorite talk radio station in Namibia, that is Eagle FM. And it's the 26th of September, 2025. And we are moving toward the end of the year. And like we're always saying, whenever you are waking up, first thing that you need to do, you need to appreciate the fact that you are awake, because others did not make it throughout, the night. Others did not make it throughout, that night. And when you are awake, ask yourself these questions to say, what is that I have done, for a next person? How many people have I assisted? Not only in terms of monetary assistance, not only in terms of property, not only in terms of giving a person something, but even advice, or give a person the technical know-how, information sharing. How many people have you assisted before you come to yourself and also ask to say, why somebody is not assisting me? Because it's always important to start with you. What have you done before you start looking outside? Because we need to start with ourselves before we look outside. So it's Early Morning Scoop, and like we're always indicating to you, this is the time that we give you updates, we give you content of what is happening around the world, what is happening in the continent of Africa, what is happening in Namibia, in terms of politics, economics, development, and also statistical issues, because we always believe that it's always crucial for an ordinary person, it's always crucial for everybody also to understand that in the world that we are living in the world that we are living in, we are calling it a global village. What is happening in Paris has a direct or indirect impact of what is happening in deep down my village, in Umsati region, deep down my village in Ohangwena, or what is happening in Klinkabis, or wherever you are finding yourself. What is happening in Beijing, you may think that is very far, has a direct or indirect impact on the bread and butter that you are eating, because the world become now a global village, and things are interconnected, either political relations, economic relations, social and cultural relations, technology, and all those things. That is why we find it very important to make sure that from the hour of 6 to 8, we are engaging in conversation of development, we are engaging in conversation of trade, we are engaging in conversation of politics, and also global governance in general, to make sure that we give you developmental insight, we give you economic insight, we give you governance insight, because at the end of the day, when you want to make your decision, either it's a professional decision, either it's an academic decision, either it's a business decision, you must be able to have reliance on data, reliance on those information, and also evaluate those information that you are getting. So, before we go to what we have on the table, today, it's always important, as we always advise to say, make sure that if you do not want to miss out, make sure that you connect with us, Eagle FM Namibia, at all our social media platform. Like, share, follow our page, because that is the only way that you not miss out in terms of content of economics and also governance. So when you like and share our page, it's not only that it's you who's going to be updated, also those who are following you will be able to get an opportunity also to follow through and be up to date on what is happening. There is a lot of things which are happening around the world. There is a lot of things which are happening inside the country. However, we look at what conversation can we pick which is relevant to national development. What conversation can we pick beyond mere conversation? What conversation can we pick beyond discussion about whether, discussion about who is who, but conversation that take us somewhere, conversation that will also allow us, you know, to bring something on the table? Because you need to ask yourself, why am I engaging in this conversation? That is the point of, that is the first point of departure when you are engaging in content, to say, why am I engaging in this conversation? What is the relevant of this conversation? Is it just to make me happy? Or just to be fulfilled? There is one German word which is called Schadenfreude. I'm not really sure. But that is called, in simple definition, it's a feeling of happiness when somebody is in trouble. And that is not the aim. And not what we are aiming for. We are aiming for development. We are aiming to bring about those thought-provoking, thinking, particularly those which will put something on the table and also will improve our lives. So, apart from liking and sharing the page of Eagle FM on X, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn, you can also like and share the page of the Villager newspaper. That is our e-paper. It's e-paper, it's online paper that is coming out every Monday, Wednesday, and also Friday. So when you share and like the page of the Villager newspaper, you will also be able to get access to the content and also the context of what is happening in terms of economic development and also human development. The other thing that you can do is send your name to this number and save it as your WhatsApp contact detail. That is 081-241-44. 081-241-44. Send your name there. Then you save it as your WhatsApp contact detail. Then we'll be able to send you the soft copy of the Villager newspaper every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Like we are always saying, if you are a researcher, if you are a student of politics, if you are a student of governance, if you are a student of international trade, if you are an economist, if you are a developmental enthusiast, or somebody, or you are an SME operator, make sure that the Villager newspaper is part of your sources of information, is part of where you get information, because we'll be able to give you a broader overview, particularly on local, regional, and also international, so that it's easier for you when you have insight. It's easier for you when you have insight, because somebody talked to me to say, you know, there is nothing dangerous than the poverty of mind. There's nothing dangerous than the poverty of mind. You might be have money, you might have property, but if you are away from information, if you are away from knowledge, if you are away from learning, I think you are a bit worse, because that of which you have acquired may disappear very fast, but if you enrich the content of your mind, if you enrich the content of your mind, you train your thinking, and you also be able to acquire right information, it's easier for you to navigate. It's also easier for you to come out of a corner that you are cornered in, and also to survive in a very difficult situation, especially looking at where the economy is not doing very well, and is those who are armed with knowledge and skills that are able also to survive. So apart from that, there are those who are asking, and it's quite a relevant question to say, Eagle FM Namibia, where are you? Why are we not connected to you? Why the frequency is not frequencing? Why the frequency is fluctuating? Sometimes we hear you, sometimes we are not hearing you. We are indicating to you that you can be able to connect to us through Eagle FM app. It's a very beautiful app, one of the few apps that you find in Namibia. You can just go to your Play Store, go to your App Store, then you can be able to download Eagle FM app. And the beauty of the app is that when you open it, you'll be able to listen to the programs which are on air, and you can also be able to listen to the previous programs through podcast. It's easier to use. It's not, you are not only going to use it when you are in Namibia, even when you are traveling and you miss home, you want to be updated on what is happening at home, what is happening in SADC region. Either you are a student, because at one point I met one former student in UK. She was studying in UK and she told me, said, oh, you are from Eagle FM. I used to listen to your app when I was homesick. And, it's quite a relevant app, especially if you are outside the country. And also, just to look at yourself.
Get your monthly essential products for just 599 Namibian dollars at USAID. Get 10 kilograms each of Marathon White Sugar, Champion Super Maize Meal and Bokomo Fetu Flour. Also 5 kilos nice rice as well as 500 grams grande pasta. All 5 products for only 599 Namibian dollars. You save, I save, yes we all save at USAID.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Yes, while we are talking about the app, I indicated that there was a student who was studying in UK. I met her at Hilton. There was an event there. She told me to say, no, you are from Eagle FM. I was really homesick, but you guys, you kept me up to date. You kept me up to date with your app, and it's quite a very interesting app, particularly when you want to learn on developmental issue. And remember, she studied CA, she studied Chartered Accountant, and what I'm indicating to you is that it's not only for students, it's not only for students abroad, but it's for everybody. You are using it in Namibia, when you are in SADC region, everywhere you are, as long as you are connected to internet. The operational, the mode of operation of Eagle FM app is exactly the same as WhatsApp. So, what is very interesting also about the app is that in a situation that you missed a program, you don't need to worry and scratch your head. You can still come back to it. You can still go to a podcast and say, what was happening on the 25th of September? How can I go back and check? How can I evaluate that information? How can I also verify? So that is the beauty of the app. And the other thing is also Imba app. We have Imba app. You can go to Play Store and App Store. You can also download Imba app. With Imba app is a digital version of a hymn book. It's a digital version of a hymn book. And, if you are a church, you are a pastor, or you are an ordinary person who is at an occasion where you have to sing, from a hymn book, and you do not have it, you do not have a hard copy hymn book, you do not need to stress yourself. You do not need to go and borrow. You do not need to go and ask people. Even if you are a pastor and you lost your hymn book, what you can do, go to Play Store, go to App Store, then you can download Imba app. When you download it, it have a different version. Either is, you know, Chiwambo, that is your Ehangano, either is in Ocherero, that is your Maimburiro, either is in Afrikaans, Silozi, and other local Namibian languages. So make sure you download Imba app and you work with where the world is going, and you also make sure that we are in the 21st century, and it's those who are advanced in terms of technology, is those who understand helpful and smart apps that are making their life easier. That is why I'm always indicating to you that in terms of the world where it is now, development, advancement in terms of technology is inevitable. Advancement in terms of technology, you cannot block it. You can either embrace it and learn how to live with it, and also how to use it to make your life easier. And I was seeing, people around, they have seen technology, or they view technology differently. Some they look at technology as a threat. Some they look at technologies to come to take our jobs. Some they look at technology as evil and many other things. But the fact of the matter is that throughout civilization, technology is not a new thing. Throughout civilization, people have been advancing. People have been creative, have been advancing on ways on how to make their life easier, better, save time, and also save energy. And yeah, you can also advertise with us. You can advertise with us by making sure that you contact our marketing manager. That is Meme Monica Ipinge. You can contact her at 083-288-400. 083-288-400. Then you can be able to buy airtime on air. You can be able to buy airtime on air. And we are always telling you to say, money invested in advertisement is money back on the way to the owner. Because if you want your business to be known, if you want your business to be known, if you want your products to be known, if you want your services to be known, communicate with our marketing manager, and you'll be able to buy airtime on air. You'll be able to speak. You'll be able to speak the business language, so that you can be able also to get that luxury of accessing thousands and thousands of listeners, thousands of your potential customers. You will be able to, when you buy airtime on air, you'll be able to get clients not only in Namibia but also outside, those who are using our app, and also those who are following us. The other thing is also that you can also advertise through the Villager newspaper, buy a page in the Villager newspaper. Whether you are an SME, middle business, a multinational corporation, the gate is open. Talk to me, Monica Ipinge, at 083-288-400. And you will make your life easier, because that is customers coming to you, stakeholders coming to you, and people are starting to know your business, and you'll be able to upgrade from there. So we are going to look at what is happening around the world, what is happening around the world, what is happening in terms of politics, economics, innovation, and also governance. And we understand that UNGA, United Nations General Assembly, just came to an end. It was quite a very interesting week, and we are yet to see the reports of what were some of the resolutions which were taken, what are some of the commitments which were taken, because elders do not just meet for the sake of meeting. Because in an African tradition, for example, when the elders meet, is something very important need to be discussed. When elders meet, it's a very crucial, meeting that also require outcomes, because when something is very difficult in an African tradition family, they say, we are calling your families and all these things, but that meeting has to have an outcome. They have to sit, and that meeting has to have an outcome that provide direction. And that is also what we expect, because after every UNGA, there is always a report from the office of the Secretary General to look at what are some of the commitment, what are some of the resolution, what is the way forward in terms of, for example, in terms of climate, in terms of economy, in terms of global peace, in terms of cooperations, and also in terms of human security and promotions of human rights. So we had to see to say when the elders met, what is the direction moving forward? What is the commitment? And yeah, let us pay the bills, and we move to global affairs before we come at home. So stay tuned. For those of you who are coming on the radio for the first time, this is Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shome.
Lipura nenge no wapungwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku tete okoye ekukulile oshafafana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano hile koshuala onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo IGL FM otuna evi toda njuka okupitira oipindi konu konda doi inawa nune uto otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendi kenawa lokumona oijabweli nawa ninge pata fanona monika ko IGL FM onora ikatimwe bali heavy nola natu heali bali no heali ile kumberewa mura hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu oma filane IGL FM the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The coming up of BRICS creates a mini supermarket where the value of money begins to change. When America is borrowing money from the World Bank, they get 2% or 3% interest on their money.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
The following show is a playback from Eagle FM podcast. The following show is a playback.
Ipura nenge no wapungwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku tete okoye ekukulile oshafafana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano hile koshuala onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo IGL FM otuna evi toda njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa nune uto otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendi kenawa nokumona oijabweli nawa ninge pata fanona monika ko IGL FM onora ikatimwe bali heavy nola natu heali bali no heali ile kumberewa mura hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu oma filane IGL FM the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, we are moving forward with the Early Morning Scoop. It's 26 minutes past the hour of 6. And yeah, what is happening around the world? What is happening around us? We are starting with French. Starting with the French man. We are starting with what is happening in France. We understand that the former president of France has been going through, trial. He's been jailed. Former French President Nicolas Sarkozy was found guilty, that is yesterday, of criminal association in connection with alleged Libya funding of his 2007 presidential campaign. 2007 presidential campaign. You must underline that, because in 2007, when Sarkozy was campaigning, he was getting fundings from Libya, and you must be able also to see how this have also impacted the politics of the continent and also the politics of Europe. And when you're asking yourself to say, when a French politician is campaigning and is getting money from Africa, and who was in Libya at that time? That is Muammar Gaddafi. It shows it's also show how powerful Gaddafi is, who at one point has influence in the French politics, and also had a good relationship with, you know, Nicolas Sarkozy or Nicolas Sarkozy. And you also need to ask yourself questions to say, what led to the downfall of Gaddafi? How wealthy was Libya to that extent that, that it funded the campaign of Nicolas Sarkozy in 2007? And also, you also need to put, you know, question marks. Put question marks around that content to say, if Libya was funding campaign in France, not local authority politics, it's not the regional authority politics, it's at a national level. As somebody who influenced even the presidency of France, how wealthy was Libya and where was that money coming from? And in an ongoing trial, it was indicated that the Paris Criminal Court, ruled that Sarkozy allowed Cross Associates to seek financial support from the regime of the late Muammar Gaddafi between 2005 and also 2007. Although he was cleared of other charges of misusing of public funds, that charge of getting funds from Libya remains. And it's very interesting to look at this news closely. It's very interesting to look at this news closely because the downfall of Libya is so complicated, or the downfall of Muammar Gaddafi is so complicated to that extent that is beyond politics. There is economic linkage in that. There is whole regional a conflict involved in that. It's not only about the Arab Springs. It's more than that. And what you need to understand is also that when Libya was going down, when Gaddafi was cornered, when NATO took over the airspace of Libya, most of the jet fighters which were there, and France is known to have very strong manufacturing of jet fighters. Most the supply of jet fighters in NATO, most of them they came from France. Then they, then you are asking yourself this question to say, why is Europe and also the West were also interested so much in taking down Gaddafi? Why was it? Because he had strong influence even in the French politics. Was it only in French politics? And what was the real value of the economy of Libya? Because in some cases, you may be able to look at what you hear and also what you see from international ranking. But what was the real value of Libyan economy? And what was the standard of life of an ordinary Libyan before that? So let's take the caller. Hello?
Yes.
Yes, how are you, sir?
I'm all right, you
know? I'm well.
I'm a little bit confused now. Are you the one on
Eagle FM?
Eagle FM for talking about Gaddafi?
Yes.
Yeah, you see, I've always wanted to participate on this kind of groups, and I wanted, is it possible that I can actually answer that question?
No problem. That is exactly what we need, because we are encouraging conversation.
Yeah, people, we need to understand.
Yeah.
In Africa, yeah. Before the white people come to Africa,
yeah,
we never had a civil war. I can't recall of any. When I went through and find out exactly how did the war started, and you need to understand that the war that started,
yeah,
the Europeans started having empires, and then they were having the Roman empires,
yeah,
and then the Roman Empire, that is where the church is started, because the church was also one of the great methods in order to blind people's people to be submissive and so on.
To soften people.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that people can have a belief that once you do something bad, then God will come. While they are actually taking everything, you know, the church is the one that comes up with these things of 15% of what you earn. Yeah, it was the church, and that's why today we have very rich Vaticans in Italy. And the Vaticans are the one that owns the church.
So
all these churches that we are actually having here are rebellions. So you understand. So the English, they find out, oh, come on. So the Italians or the Romans, they are making money and they are having power and so on. And the English comes up with the Anglican Church.
Yeah.
And so does it goes with the Germanies and then the Americans with the Evangelicans, you know? Let's come back to Gaddafi. Gaddafi defeated the system of usury. You see, do you understand what is the usury?
Yeah.
As well.
Maybe to explain it to an ordinary person also who is listening. So,
you see, let me say, in the world of democracy. There is a world of democracy, and there is a world of a communist. In the world of democracy, all the monetary systems is connected to the central banks of the Americans. They control the money. You understand?
We don't
control our money.
That is
one thing that you need to understand.
Mm-hmm.
So these certain peoples, they come up with a way whereby they prevent countries to own the monetary system, or either to have certain controls on their money. Now Gaddafi have his own bank, and he did not borrow money. And he didn't borrow money, and he has nationalized all the natural resources. So the central bank was not getting anything from there.
So he was independent.
He was independent. So they have a total sovereignty. Yeah. So for us, we don't have it. So that is the problem.
But why?
Then also, that is what caused the war in Germany. Now that is what caused the war of the Germanies and the France. The First World War that happened in 2014. I mean, in 1914. It's the bank.
It's the bank.
Bankers are preventing country to nationalize their industries and their bank and their bank. You see.
I have a question. Maybe just to where we are there at Gaddafi. Did African leaders understood that before Gaddafi went down?
I think some of them know. You know, our leaders are like pastors.
Yeah. What do you mean?
They will tell you something that they will do it.
Mm.
But they will not do it. They will never come to you that we are under a system that we cannot repel.
But they can also see, ne?
Yeah. They understand. You know, pastors, they will tell you, no, they will be angels and what. But they will never tell you that, look, the churches, these churches of today that we are actually having, they are under... under the systems of democracy. That's why you don't find these churches in a communist world. You don't find it.
Yes, continue.
You find in most of the communist world, you find Orthodox church. It's called like that. That's where you found. Yeah. That is the difference. So, those two systems, they don't integrate.
Now
we came to 1933 when Hitler took over. Unemployment over 7 million, over 3 to 4 million have got no house. So when Hitler took over, Hitler nationalized everything. The bank, the industries, and then they provide a job, employment
to the youth,
and then that is where Germany started to be an industry hub.
Mm-hmm.
So because Hitler nationalized the bank and they own the monetary systems of Germany.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened in Germany at that time,
mm-hmm.
it's exactly the same way
mm-hmm.
that happened in Ukraine and Russia.
No, you must
understand that Russia,
mm-hmm.
Russia also defeated usurers. Russia's, they nationalize all their natural resources and they own the bank.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
Mm-hmm. Now, I think you are the only person who got deep into that, especially with the story of Hitler. I'm not supporting what Hitler have done, but there are things that he did that
the war is not really explained well. It's based on propaganda. You mm-hmm. know, Hitler, when he stood up,
mm.
he said, I'm going to kill a certain race of peoples and mm. I will leave others. For you people to understand why am I being so so cruel on them.
Yeah.
Because there were certain race of peoples who always wanted to hold the world's economy. They wanted to you know, in the world of today we call them globalists. Yeah, they don't care whether he's in, I mean, they don't have nationalities. They don't care. And most of those peoples,
yeah,
they never had a country of their own. These are the things that we need to understand.
Now history.
That's the reason why we have wars in the world.
Let's come to Gaddafi. How rich was Gaddafi to that extent that he's funding campaign in France? You know, what was his aim? How rich was Gaddafi to that extent that he was funding? What is that he wanted in France? Because the court is saying apparently, or the court is saying.
Those are propagandists. Look, Gaddafi, when he became the chairperson of the AU, Gaddafi was actually lobbying, with that position for the African country to have one current called, the dinars, aligned with gold.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was saying, why is it that we as Africans,
mm-hmm.
50% of the natural resources or 70% of the global natural resources, commodities, are found in Africa.
Yeah, right.
And yet we are using our money to buy oils. You need to understand that the American dollar is the, in 1971, the Americans, when they come from the war of Vietnam, their economy was very bad, in bad shape. So they realized that we need to find something on which we can actually align our money. So they went to Saudi Arabia, and then when they went to Saudi Arabia, the chief that was, or the king that was ruling Saudi Arabia at that moment, he refused. And then they got somebody, they went underground and convinced that guy to kill the other king so that they can have the king that is there now. He's now longer because he's old. He's now his small child. He's the MBM.
Yeah.
MBM is the one now, the son of that king.
The prince.
Yeah, the prince now.
Mm-hmm.
He's now the one that is ruling. So they force him that, look, as we are speaking, all the oils, each country that buys oils must buy in USA dollars. So you take your money, you put it in your central bank, you transfer to the American stock exchange, you buy the dollar, you are not going to do anything, you just buy the dollar, and then you go back to Saudi Arabia to buy the oils. And in that exchange, the USA are taking money from there. So if you take 5 million, you're no longer going to get 5 million of the USA dollar.
Mm-hmm.
So the USA dollar used to make about $10 trillion a year because of the oil transactions when countries are buying. Because subsequently, that is when the USA dollar become the world currency reserve.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now I want you to...
I want you to
educate us on what we are doing now in Africa, because I was asking the same question of using US dollars even to trade. What the African leaders are trying to do is also to make sure that they trade with their own currency. Is that going to happen, or is it going to create another challenge?
It is possible.
Why is it not... you see, you need to understand that people are not only making... You see, there are people that are actually convinced that the reason why people are using the USA dollar as what? As a world currency reserve,
mm-hmm.
it's because it's the only suitable money to be used. It's a liar. It is because countries are forced.
Yeah.
Countries are forced to do that.
Mm-hmm.
No. It is a system that is put in place.
Now, okay, due to the, to time, I want you to, don't go before you tell us your name. I want you to,
yeah.
to give us an advice, especially to either is a small business owner, either is, a young leader, to look at, like you gave a perspective of what's happening around the world, especially in terms of, global affairs. What do you think the generation of young leaders that we have in Namibia should focus on to make sure that they should not repeat the same mistakes which, you know, previous leaders did not really, take care of very well. Either is Namibia, either is also, even let's add that subject to say, what are those new thinking that will take us where we want, especially to the new, leaders, either in governance or within, NGOs or private sector too?
Look, what we just need to own up what belongs to us.
Mm-hmm.
Like the current president is actually pushing for what? For nuclear
mm-hmm.
industry, a reactor,
mm-hmm.
a civil one, just yeah. to provide electricity.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing that we need mm-hmm. is the refineries.
Okay.
The only refineries.
Mm-hmm.
That those are the only things that want. Then we can take it from there.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can also own our own money.
Just hold on, hold on.
Save and win at WB in the Pick a Box birthday promo. Enter today with your Smart Buy card. Get a 2 kg bag of Tastic Rice for just $39.99. 3x1 liter Crystal Gold Olive Oil Blend for $199.99. A 500 gram Sunshine D Original Brick for only $19.99. And 2 2-liter Fanta bottles for a sweet $37.99. Learn more about Pick a Box at www.vurmanbrock.com. T's and C's apply. We care.
Yeah, it's own up what is ours. It's nuclear in the refinery. What else?
And then we change the method.
Change the method.
You know, most of the democracy has got system designed. They are not designed to succeed, but mm-hmm. they are designed to fail.
Mm-hmm.
Like the system of borrowing.
Mm.
You see,
mm.
no country has ever borrowed from the IMF or from the World Bank has ever succeeded.
You still have to.
That is one thing that you need to understand.
It's like a micro lender.
You don't really need to understand a lot of things.
Okay.
You just need to understand that.
Yeah.
Because that system is a system that caused wars in the world.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Just like when I'm telling you that Gaddafi was trying to create a currencies. Of mm. Africans
mm.
in order to be used to buy oils. Now, do you understand what is that going to be? It's
yeah.
going to compete with the USA dollar.
Mm, mm, mm.
Now, the USA will never allow that.
Mm.
Because the USA, the reason why they went to the liquid gold, as they call it,
mm, mm.
the petrol dollar.
Mm, mm.
It is, they were actually competing with the British.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the British the British pound is aligned with gold. But do you find gold in Europe or in British?
Mm-hmm.
No, most of our gold mines
yeah.
are owned by the Americans and the British under the conglomeration company or mm-hmm. organization called Anglo-American.
Okay, due to time, who are we speaking to again?
Take me off air.
Oh, okay. I will take you. Just hold on.
Yeah.
Just hold on.
Lipurane njeno wapungwa Eva tere uliko ni mwondo tuto ingida Ashike kapeno nweko tite okoye ekukulile Oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo Iho etike kovano hile koshuana Onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano Okupitira mo IGL FM otuna evi toga njuka Okupitira oipindi konu konda doi nao
Yes, we are continuing with Erimoni Scoop. I think we just lost our caller, but we'll get him anyway. And thank you very much for the content. And just wish again you can call us so that you know these are the people that we need to have conversation with. These are the people that we need also to invite to our program, also to educate us more, because when you analyze issues at the critical level, is where you'll be able also to see where the problems are, and also where you're able to see a new perspective, because sometimes we think we know the truth. But when you go deep and also ask yourself to say, why can't I look at Africa from the perspective of Gaddafi? Was Gaddafi a dictator that we have been hearing? Was he killing people and all these things? Was India Mini this person that people are describing as this, or was at the other side of history? And what the caller have stated is quite crucial, especially he stated one thing which is very 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 important to say. Don't look at a lot of things, because if we go deep into analyzing issues, we will not finish. But look at the basics. If you are a young leader, you are in. Okay, yes, hello.
Yeah, I'm back.
Okay. No problem. Just hold on.
I can, because of time, I can just give you my number. Yeah. 081.
Okay, 081.
25.
961.
461. 45.
45, okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, Ne.
Yep.
Okay. Yes, thank you again. Thank you again for communicating. Thank you again for communicating, and also making sure that you know you contribute to this program. And yeah, one of the things that stated this year is owning what is ours. Owning what is ours. What are the methods on the table to own what is ours? Because when you own what is yours, no one can take it from you. The other one is the aspect of refinery. That is what is mentioned. And the other thing is also changing the method, because with international financial institutions, especially those who borrow, Africans are not borrowing at the same percentage as the Western world. That thing, you need to understand it. And it's made like a micro lender who is giving you money beyond 50%, because you know already that if you are getting a loan beyond 50% of your income, it's obvious that you are not going to maintain that loan. You have to go back again and become a slave. That's why countries are in debt. And I think our debts, although it's also maintainable, we are also beyond the Sandek threshold in terms of debts, national debts per GDP ratio, something that we need also to work on. And looking at France now, I think it's also something that we need to look at, because now France is in a very difficult condition, especially economically, in terms of its national debt is beyond 100%, it's 114% debt per GDP ratio. And their politics is not a bit stable. Then the question you're asking yourself is that if Africa unplug itself from the whole world, which is not impossible, but looking at it to say, if Africa unplug itself from the global economy, who is going to suffer? And who is going to benefit if Africa trade with its own currency? It happened with EU, with the euro. What is that Africa have that the world does not have? What is that we need? Because we have everything that we need. We have gold, we have everything. But it's a question of debate. Let us look at this news, and also look at what is happening in France. Then we can move forward, because it's quite a loaded conversation, because it's go beyond politics. Because if you become too clever in Africa, if you start speaking about United States of Africa, other people have tried, but I think it's also something that is still coming up, because the journey will not end. Other people have tried, because the aim is to make sure that why every time there is drought in Africa, we are running to international institution. Why do we have to be fed from outside while we can do it? So, let us look at this news and move forward.
Right now, some breaking news. As former French President Nicolas Sarkozy has been sentenced to 5 years in prison. That's after a Paris court has found him guilty of a criminal conspiracy. The case is related to illegal Libyan financing of campaign funds ahead of his 2007 presidential campaign. He was acquitted of all other charges. Sarkozy, though, has denied all of the allegations. Let's go live to our correspondent, Natasha Butler, in the court in Paris. Natasha, you're there. What are you hearing in terms of the verdict, and can it be appealed?
Well, this has been a case and a trial full of twists and turns. Now, the verdict, it seems, is no different. Former French President Nicolas Sarkozy, given 5 years in prison. The judge said that was for his conviction of criminal conspiracy, I should say. She said that Nicolas Sarkozy had been the mastermind, the ringleader amongst his associates to try and procure illegal funds from Libya, that he knew exactly what was going on. So even though he was acquitted of the other three charges against him, which included corruption and embezzlement of public funds, he was found guilty of criminal conspiracy, and he has been given this very heavy prison sentence. Now, what we know is the next step is that Nicolas Sarkozy will then meet the judge in the coming days to talk about his sentence. But as far as we understand, he will have to go to prison. He will, of course, perhaps try to appeal it. Even so, he'll have to go to prison. He will, though, perhaps ask if he can serve out his term and house arrest or with an electronic bracelet. But what we are seeing is a former French president that will end up in some way for some time behind bars. And that is unprecedented. It is, of course, a huge political and state scandal.
Yeah, as you said, unprecedented there. There's been many calls of corruption across the political spectrum. What does that mean politically? What implications?
Yeah, let's move forward. The time is 55 minutes past the hour of 6, and we have around 1 hour and 5 minutes before we come to the end of our conversation. Let us look at global affairs. What is happening globally? What is happening globally? What is happening globally? And it's quite... Let us look at Rwanda and DRC. It was stated that the two African countries have come to the point of agreeing on a plan of joint monitoring and joint monitoring mechanism to work together in their borders. And also to put on an agreement which is aiming to promote regional stability. As you understand that for the past, for the past, I think 1 year or more, there have been a lot of ongoing conflict, especially in eastern DRC, where M23 rebels, which are stated to have been backed by Rwanda, although Rwanda denied, have been defeating, actually militarily, been defeating DRC army, and also took over some of the key mineral-rich province. And also key mineral-rich towns such as Goma, and international institutions, and also particularly also in terms of Africa and also regional stability have been compromised, and there have been fear that this war would turn into a regional war because South Africa also involved as a peacekeeping mission, which turned out not to be successful. And also looking back in history, we were also at one point, Namibia went there in the 1999 there, nearly 2,000 or so, to make sure that we assist the government of Laurent Kabila, the father of Joseph Kabila. And there was a bit also of, if you go deep into the history of SADC, you'll be able to understand that when Namibia, Angola and Zimbabwe went to DRC, there was also a bit of division in SADC region, where you have also the late Mugabe exchanging words with Mandela. And I think it's quite a very important historical record also to look at, and don't want to mention those words on air, but it's quite an important record to look at to say how have been what is the significance of DRC in SADC in Africa and also in the world. But here it's stated that the Democratic Republic of Congo and Rwanda have agreed to begin implementing key security measures in October as part of peace deal, and also to support the U.S. With the support of United States President Donald Trump, and that accord was signed earlier this year. And also to look at stabilizing the regional the conflict that almost turned into a regional conflict. And remember that when you look at countries, it's DRC and her neighbors. Most of these countries are led by former military generals or former military senior officials. When you look at Congo, not DRC, Congo Brazzaville, look at the president Denis Sassou-Nguesso, as a former senior military personnel. Look at surrounding country, look at Uganda. And Museveni, those are former military generals. Look at Rwanda, those are former military generals, those presidents. Look at Burundi, those are former military generals. But it's only Félix Tshisekedi, who is not a former military person. But I think this is also going to turn to advantage also of forming, peace, because the peace of DRC is not only the peace of DRC alone, it's the peace of Africa and also stability of international trade, because the distortion of, one political analyst I spoke to, who stated that DRC wealth is underground wealth is equivalent to the whole economy of America. That political analyst indicated to say the stability of DRC, when DRC start to sell the minerals at international standard price, no one can take that. No one can win DRC economy. If they start selling, because now you have war, but you have companies who are still investing. You have war, you have still companies who are still operational in DRC. They are going there with their security personnel to protect their mining area, but people are still dying. But it's something that we can expand more on the other occasion. But let us look at this news before we come to what is happening again in Africa. So let us look at this news and move forward.
The Democratic Republic of Congo and Rwanda have agreed to begin implementing key security measures in October as part of a peace deal brokered with support from US President Donald Trump. The accord signed earlier this year aims to ease years of deadly conflict in eastern Congo, where Rwandan-backed M23 rebels and other armed groups have destabilized the country. Under the plan, joint monitoring mechanisms will be established along the border, while both countries commit to halting support for proxy militias. The initiative also includes humanitarian access to displaced civilians and the deployment of neutral observers. The agreement is seen as one of the most significant steps in recent years to address tensions that have fueled regional instability and forced millions from their homes. Officials in Kinshasa and Kigali say October will mark the first concrete test of whether political will and international backing will finally turn promises into lasting peace.
Yeah, let us move. Let us move with, we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. And that is what is happening. That is what's happening, especially regarding Democratic Republic of Congo and also Rwanda. And they finally agreed also. And this agreement, if it's honored, it will be beneficial. If it's not honored, it's also going to be not beneficial to Africa. Because as much as we give emphasis on Palestine, we give emphasis on Venezuela, we must also speak more loud about the stability of DRC and also the stability of Africa. Because the stability of DRC will be crucial in terms of trade, because when, like the caller have stated, that 60% of natural resources are in Africa. And also, statistics also show that in terms of not only natural resources, but if you go specific to say mineral resources, 30% are in Africa. You realize that the whole world have to divide the other 70%. Then you realize that Africa hold a huge chunk of mineral resources in the world. And that is why it deserves to be on the table in terms of UN Security Council. Let's take the caller. Hello?
Mr. Shombe, good morning.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing well.
I think I've not been disciplining myself very well this day. Because I begin with you very late, which is not supposed to be.
No, it's good, because, we also have, people who are listening, and, it's good that, it's not a matter of you not disciplining yourself. But,
yeah, what do I benefit now if I miss your program? What do I do?
Oh, you mean in terms of listening?
In terms of listening and get educated, get informed.
So, you know, this
Eagle FM.
Yeah.
The research, I used to term it as a, it's a, the university. If you see my books, my notebooks, that I have been writing, all these things, there are many. Not even 4 or 5 years program that you get. There are many notebooks.
Mm-hmm.
Finish writing. They are reaching lifelong learning.
We are also writing from you. It's just an exchange. Yeah.
So if I miss the program of yours and all many others,
yeah,
that means I will graduate maybe by cutting and pasting. So it's true that we should not neglect to litigate the issue, the political instability of our region.
Mm-hmm.
So of course we should make sure that we pay attention to the global issues, challenges, and things like that.
Yeah.
And then we must also really clean at home.
Mm.
Remember that when we just got independence, Zimbabwe, Namibia, Tatenuoma, they just decided, let's get in there.
But.
They knew Rwanda, is even those countries, I don't know whether Burundi was what, Rwanda and the other one, who is this other one?
There's Uganda and Burundi.
Those countries, yes. So they saw Kim. At least Uganda wasn't much involved.
Yeah.
But of course, he was also there to protect his own, own security.
Mm.
But now, that war, was going to come
at home.
Savimbi, join with Savimbi, come to our doorstep here.
Yeah.
Ah, it was going to be a bloody war.
Yeah.
It was going to be a bloody war.
They call it African war.
Our independence was almost going to be sacrificed.
So we went to meet them halfway.
So that's why immediately the, our leader, they thought, let's just jump in Kentucky. I mean, not Kentucky, Kinshasa.
Yeah.
When the planes were landing,
yeah,
they were already now, those rebels, they were waiting, they were coming towards the airport.
Apparently, they were taking over everything.
Everything. Kabila was going to be killed at that particular time.
But now, why are we not giving credit to Zimbabwe? Because Zimbabwe played a major role in those either it's war, either it's also defending African liberation. But why are we abandoning Zimbabwe?
And if you go to ask those generals from Zimbabwe and yeah. other things, you know, remember for us it was an advantage because we just came from the battlefront, our own Swapo combatants.
No, they were still battle tested that time.
We were at the front, man. We were at the front.
They were ready.
We were at the front.
Yeah.
We are pushing the hard drum and bring the hard drum. I'm pushing the tent. I am for long weekend.
Yeah.
So that's why we really thank them, yeah. but we really thank our combatants.
Yeah, yeah. But I have a question, eh? Because that was supposed to go as a SADC full military intervention, but there was no agreement because
this protocol.
No, I read somewhere where I think that time Thabo Mbeki was getting in, but I think Robert Mugabe, I mean who. Mandela was also a bit involved in negotiation. Then they said there was a point where they fought with Robert Mugabe, exchanging of words. Go and read the records. Who was saying who? Who say you want to kill people? You want to work like what? Somebody say no. You are
working with us. Even here, in our country, people are demonstrating. Even the government, they say our people are killed. Of course. What I'm saying is that there was going to be a delay.
Yeah.
And remember, I've just told you that. Just a few kilometers before Kinshasa, the rebels were there. They had to be pushed at where they came from, almost even up to their borders there.
Yeah.
So it was a disaster for them. It was a disaster because they just regrouped the people and the young men and all these things. Mm. And those guys, they had never tested the guerrilla warfare.
Which one?
That was their disadvantage.
Uh-huh.
And remember, I told you that we were just coming from the war. Our commanders, all of them, you can ask them.
Yeah.
And then, you know, there was a guy called Nopoju, Wangudumana.
Yeah.
Wangudumana is just from where somebody who knows. And he has also been humiliated in the newspaper. I don't know why our combatants have been, our generals and our people are especially combatants. They are being humiliated.
How was that? What caused that humiliation?
Sorry, yeah?
What caused that humiliation?
I think it is also very lack of giving some of these people recognition yourself,
mm-hmm.
and also give the at least due respect to what they have done. And maybe also, you know, remember for us, our reconciliation helps us. So everybody, most of the, I was at the funeral and one of the retired general or whatever said, I think the reconciliation came too quick. It was implemented too quick. Sometimes you understand. So let's leave that thing. What I'm saying is that it is important to prevent those kind of insecurity, military instability, instability, and we are going to delay our development and our children are going to die. So if they could agree, and they really agree, because we know they are the cause of this war.
There's also one thing that, because before you go, I want you to educate me also, because there's one thing I was checking and I'm not getting it. You know, people are asking, they are poking questions. It's not yet out. They are poking questions to say, why Mnangagwa did not attend the UN General Assembly?
Did he attend?
No, he did not. He's not there.
Did he?
I think I'm still looking into that. Because I think it's a matter of succession and also a matter of maintaining also power, because you know, the time is also about to come to an end. You see what I'm saying?
Okay.
Yeah, and
So you are saying that the one for the reform, the one that people are calling for the reform, the United Nations Security Council?
No. He was supposed to be at the United Nations General Assembly as other presidents are.
That General Assembly, I told you. Okay, let them talk about the reform. The international institution.
Okay. Now while we are there, let us look at, because I asked the previous callers also to say, what is your advice to the leaders of today, especially young leaders, because we are always saying every generation must define its own course. But to a Namibian youth leader, to a Namibian young politician, apart from what is happening around the world, what is that we can do new? What is that they can do different?
I think our young ones, with this political so kind of awaken, and their concern is more on political fraud, which is clear, which is made good for them already. So if they can be inspiring themselves seriously to take up the mantle of economic liberation and mobilize others. And take the opportunities that are provided for by Minetumba and all these regal instruments. There are so many, my brother. So I don't know. So they really need to have that kind of conscious leadership kind of a thing. And even their management style. They are the ones who are missing the money there in those institutions. So the thing is the what? Is the elder people.
They are the ones who know technology.
So I just tell you that most of the, our institutions we used to not here before independence. I tell you that when Polytechnic and UNAM was combined, so most of those young educated young ones, they are the ones who are learning those institutions. Metropolitan, Namfisha, you know, this big one, Development Bank of Namibia, JPF, those are the young ones that I have been interacting with. I know them. We are studying together those years. So that means, I'm not saying that we are the ones who are messing up. Those ones, they are living proper and managing those institutions very well. So all I'm saying is that the young ones, please, let's mobilize ourselves. Let's pay attention more. So you see, they want the business entity to cause. And those are the ones who are employing the young ones. Now, if you go this thing, and you are not actually negotiating for improvement in terms of working conditions, you know, just benefits and things like that. Talk to the manager, to organize the people properly. Instead of saying, close the meeting, what's happening in Angola recently? Where people were saying, Savindi, and they even displayed the Savindi. Those are the, we need to clean up in our internal, house. Remember that I think you are the one who was mentioning that point. President Ramaphosa of South Africa was saying that our internal politics, those things are being really destabilizing people, and the distractors are taking opportunity. So I'm just using this word because it came from.
Let's
create more strong conviction, create that critical consciousness. Kind of education.
Yes.
So that the youth will really determine their own destiny as well.
Thank you.
Welcome, sir.
Right. Yeah. You got it yourself. Youth leaders must position themselves, and they must also be creative, because creativity is needed. We want to see that youthfulness coming out. Because we can't just give you a suit, you keep quiet, you start singing liberation songs, which is not a problem, but at least you must be creative enough to say, yes, I come from this sector, these are the problems that we are facing. When you are in that cabinet, when you are in that boardroom, when you are in that committee of
any party politics. That youth must come out. That youth must come out, because we have seen the generation of youth, either in politics, in business, in development, they have always been different. Not really to say you must be like what the generation before you is doing, but you must bring out that pressure of young people. You must bring out that pressure of young people to see. If you look in the history, either it's South African history, Namibian history, and many other history, how youth, especially when you look at politics, business, how they have been creative. How was... let's take the caller. Hello?
Yes, big brother.
Yes, how you say?
I'm there again. I thought the time is... I thought our time was finished.
No, the time is not finished.
Then Uncle comes in.
No, we are going until 8 o'clock, ne? No, we must have a conversation. We are always encouraging conversation. That's why.
Why I just gave you my number.
Okay. No problem. You can still engage us. It's not over yet.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I heard you were talking about, DRC.
Yeah.
Being given a kind of security guarantee or security by America.
Yeah, it's America trying to solve African problems also.
It will never be. It will never be. It is like you have gods being getting lost,
mm-hmm.
and then you go and get the hoof to go and to take care of the gods. Yeah, it will never be.
It will not reach home.
No, it will not be.
Okay.
And then with Kagame there, you must understand that most of the natural resources of DRC go through Rwanda.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then they provide a benchmark, and then automatically they become Rwanda's resources.
Mm-hmm.
And then they gave it to Europe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you need to understand the whole systems of geopolitics. The sphere of influence is the sphere of interest.
Mm.
It's how these people are doing these things. You know, Kagame is actually there playing a sphere of interest or something like that, because Kagame, all those countries that are there, like DRC, you need to understand that Kagame, they are the one that gave Laurent Kabila the power.
And then they took it.
And then they say, you know, when the problems comes here.
Yeah.
When Kagame told Kabila that, look, you, in your military, there must be three or four generals, big generals from Rwanda. Where do you see that?
Uh-huh.
It is to control.
Mm-hmm.
It has been always like that. And when you said Kagame and Museveni, they were militaries. They were not militaries. They were rebels.
Yeah. You got me.
Kagame put Museveni in power.
Then he got support to take over his country.
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
These guys were rebels, and they are the one that shoot the plane that was killing the two presidents.
But
so we know the history.
Okay. Now you are saying this is an economic, it's economic backed war.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
It's you see, this is where I said you must understand, or you need to understand as to why do we have wars in the world. Uh-huh. I told you the First World War of 1914.
Yeah.
What caused the war?
Mm.
It's because those that caused the war, they are actually protecting their interests. What was their interest?
Uh-huh.
To control the monetary systems.
Mm. It's quite loaded.
The Second World War again is the same system. And then the war that we have now in Russia and Ukraine, it was actually designed as if that Russia just invited Ukraine unprovoked.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But it's not fear. It's not what we are hearing to say. It's a fear of Ukraine joining NATO.
If you go through the America has got a foreign policy.
Yeah.
You see? Now that foreign policy prevent countries to nationalize their resources in the world of democracy. The Cold War of the 1961 and 1960 to 1991 that ended up dissolving the Soviet Union. It was between the Soviet Unions and the democracy. That Cold War, it was about who controls the world. So the American has been at war preventing the countries to take up the system of communist, because communist means nationality. You own everything that is in your country. You control the system, your money systems. You control the minerals. You control everything. It's actually like multi-polarities. Now the American has been ruling the countries under unipolarity. That is what you need to understand. That's why the Americans, they present themselves as the emperor of the world.
Yeah, now I want to ask you a question to say, because now, as they say, the world now is a global village. We need everybody on board, because you can also not move forward without, at one point you also need to work with, those who you think they are also not the right. What do you think about, the future of, as you speak about geopolitics now, because you also need them in the equation, because they are main stakeholders in the economy. What do you do now?
What is your question again? I didn't understand.
How do you work together with those who you think they were not right, especially when we speak about the U.S., because you cannot have international economy without the U.S., although we disagree.
We can. The communist world. You see, the world has always been separated. The world has been divided in two parts. The world of democracy and the world of communist. If you look at the economy in the world of communists, those communist countries are self-sufficient, self-content. They have got everything. If you look at like the South, the global South, the African countries, when we talk about that, they are vessels. They don't have anything. Almost all of our countries are net import. We don't export anything except the natural things like meat and all those things. And that is what gives you the difference. And the country did not do that. They didn't happen to be like that because they don't want it. It is because of the systems in place that does not allow you to do that. I told you about the nuclear power stations, the refineries.
Yes, you did.
You see? Now, when you have the nuclear power station, the civil one, it generates a very strong electricity.
I think our president.
And nuclear power station is not only generates electricity; it's a very huge, an enormous industry on its own, whereby you can even have about 600,000 to 700,000 people employed in that industry, as well as the refinery industry. But the American, they are saying, no, you cannot build a nuclear power station. Why? They set these elements of a pretext whereby they said countries might go up to the stage to enrich the nuclear, and then they will build
atomic bomb,
a weapons of mass destruction. That is just a pretext.
Now I think
they have you heard what Trump said now
regarding
at the UN.
Yeah,
UN General Assembly. Have you heard what he said?
I was listening.
What Trump was saying is the truth. But Trump was only reprimanding the Europeans not to fall about this sham project of green hydrogen. He did not say that to America. Lucky enough, to Africa, the African leaders, they were there listening.
Yeah.
And you know, Trump actually is reiterated by saying, look, and you know, I'm very good at predicting.
Yeah.
So If you still pursuing this corn projects of green hydrogen, your country is going to go to hell. And it's true.
I think it's quite
green hydrogen says reset. You completely reset the whole infrastructures of your economy. And how are you going to start over?
No, it's also a question. It's also a question that we need to ask, because when you speak about you want to develop, for example, Africa through renewable energy, which sounds like a very good plan, but when you look at what other countries develop their countries with, it was not like that. Why can't you use all sorts of energy? Trump is a direct person, and sometimes he can tell you.
Trump speaks his mind.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what he knows.
Yeah.
You don't convince him.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, let me tell you one thing. I have always asked, even, because this is not the first time that I'm actually calling in your program. You know, a country like China.
Yeah. Yeah.
China need a lot of energies, be it gas, oils, and whatever.
Yeah.
Now, the Chinese, if that the green hydrogen was going to be the new viable energies in the world, why don't China pay attention to that? Chinese, they have got the minerals. They have human resources. They have got the money. They have everything.
Mm.
You see, China is one of the world growing technologies, overlapping even the USA.
Yeah,
far. You see, but Chinese when they went to SCO, the Shanghai to this summit that has been in China now.
Yeah,
the
Shanghai Cooperation.
The Shanghai Cooperation Organizations. What did they do?
Hold on one second.
From sunrise to supper time, Namib Mills is there, feeding the nation with care, quality, and heart.
We believe food is more than nourishment. It's dignity. It's hope. It's the start of a better tomorrow.
Through sustainable production processes, job creation, and affordable, nutritious food, Namib Mills is driving economic growth one plate at a time. Because when we say feeding the nation,
we mean uplifting lives,
empowering communities, and building a future where no one is left behind.
Namib Mills, proudly Namibian,
passionately feeding the nation. Namib Mills,
feeding the nation. Yes.
Hello.
Yes.
Yeah. So the Chinese had an agreement with President Putin. They were actually talking about the power of Siberia and the two pipes that they are building now from Russia to Mongolia to China.
Yeah.
You see, there is a strategic move by the Chinese there.
Yeah, yeah.
The Chinese realize that most of their energies they export from Canada, from Brazil, and other countries. And they realize that the Americans are out there confronting countries that providing energies to other countries like China.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the two pipe that they intend to do, and the construction has already started. It's in the sphere of the Russians and the Chinese.
Now,
the Chinese and the Russians are neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
So if America started saying, okay, you Brazil can no longer ship or supply energy to the Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
You Canada or any other countries that America can control, then the Chinese are safe. Because
I want to ask, because you gave us a perspective. Now you are speaking like my former professor. I want us to look at now the future, because when all these things are happening, it's impacting our economy, and it's also giving our leaders a tough time, particularly to make a decision. Some of them, they become African leaders, they become indecisive because of the two powerhouses which are directly and indirectly fighting now. As an African, how should we position ourselves? Let's go to energy. Do we need to focus on renewable energy on everything? Or we are going with what Trump is saying?
Look.
Yeah.
Renewable energy, I don't know what renewable energies are you referring. Is it the green hydrogen or?
No, all of them is green or solar and all of them.
Yeah, but you heard what Trump said. Trump said you are actually putting putting the solar system 70 to 80 kilometer by 80 kilometer, 100 to 100 kilometer. That is agricultural land. You don't have food and you do that. The world is not going to change. Look, let me tell you one thing. The emissions that these industries and cars release in Africa is only 4%.
I hear you.
You see?
I hear you.
Now the whole 96%.
We are not even contributing.
Asia.
We are not contributing
in
anything.
In America.
Yeah.
And in Europe because they have got industry.
You have a point.
Yeah. And Trump is talking about how can you be told by Obama flying with that huge big jet that consumes a lot of oil, from where to DRC, where, and you talk about green, you talk about climate change. That is what they talk in the 1920s.
F was one.
See, yeah, that is what they were talking about in 20. The world didn't change. And you know, when people don't realize and they don't listen what Trump is saying, you know, you need to understand what Trump is trying to point out. Some of those things are classified information that the president cannot really just talk like that. When Trump destroyed the USA aid, you see, it seems to be like kind of a laughable things is when we say these peoples, they have got method. In order to justify climate change. Now, you have to they were actually taking money from the USAID to pay those that have private plane and install certain things where they actually put chemicals and they spray. And then they those chemtrails. You know, when a plane goes in the sky, you can see that plane leave trails there. Those trails were chemicals that were actually preventing the sky or the crowd to form condensation so that the rain can come. These are globalists. And they started in 1961, 1945. They started long time ago.
So they
in order for them to justify crime. You see, when I followed these people, even when the COVID-19 comes, for long I knew already that it's not a pandemic, it's a plandemic. Because I know where did it started and how did it end there.
Okay. Now let us.
And people used to say, no, it's a conspiracy theories and what. You know, Trump was the president that refused to wear the mask and said he's not going to take the jab. And he accused that COVID-19 on the Chinese. Do you know that? Do you understand that?
Yeah, I was following.
Trump went off the left that chair without believing that the COVID-19 was a pandemic.
Now let us look at the future. Let us look at the future because the future is very important. And looking at our current state, your position.
The future lies in BRICS.
So okay.
Do you know BRICS?
Yeah, I know.
Brazil, Russia, India,
China,
and South Africa.
No.
If you compare the BRICS now with the G7, you are a scholar. You can take up and you can do your research and find out. There is nothing that we can actually now explain. The future lies in BRICS because that is where the world of multipolarities is, whereby you can say, okay, I am now, and you need to understand also that when the world is being confronted by the American, the Westerners, because of who to control energies and who to control the monetary system, you need to understand that the reason that if you don't, you, not just to hear in your ear, but need to understand that they want it to be in their court.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the BRICS are saying, let countries to nationalize their mineral resources.
Yeah.
And their monetary system.
Yeah.
Those are the only things, those are the only things that make sense in the world. That is where the future is. Nothing else.
Okay. Lastly, before we conclude, because we have a few minutes, lastly, let us look at, I want your view on, the United States of Africa, especially starting with, Africa internal trading. How do you think we should accelerate that? Because I'm also, a good supporter of Agenda 2063, and I like what they put on the table, but I want to see that. How do you look at the future of Africa internet trading? Is it going to assist us, or is still a long way to go?
You see, you know, until you are sovereign.
Yeah.
That is when you can say you can do things on your own.
Are we not?
You know, most people used to explain and what. Yeah. I'm just telling you,
yeah.
Until you are sovereign,
yeah.
Until you are controlling what, you see what the three countries are doing now.
Mm-hmm.
You see what they are doing. They were completely colonized by France.
That's true.
When France even gave them their money, of which France has not used. And then when they gave them that money, these countries have to provide the financial report. For them to determine what did this country do with their money? Did they build infrastructures that generate money? Because when you're only building schools and whatever, some of those things does not generate money. You need industry.
Mm-hmm.
You need steel factories. You need refinery. You need all those things.
Yeah.
Now, France has been controlling that. This money that I give to these people, what do they do with this money? They were very, very careful to prevent these countries not to build those things.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the policies of the IMF and the World Bank. They don't even allow you to be to produce your own food. Go and buy from them.
So,
we need to understand the geopolitics.
Yeah.
Once we don't, if we go to this politics of saying, hey, viva, what?
Yeah.
It will not bear any fruit for us.
I hear you. We are.
My name is Shirulisha Ko and Gajara Bunduka.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. That was huge. And we respect the researchers and content, because that is where you have to shake your mind, because things that you believe so much, they must be shaken. Then you go back and do your research again, because even me from here, I'm going to go and look at my facts correctly. Then I can also see, because every day you learn and you also unlearn. That is why we are indicating to you that this platform, perspective matters, because like what we've heard from the caller, it's quite rich in content. You don't need to like the truth or to argue with it. You just need to go and do your research and expand more. And you can also learn to say, man, what the caller have spoken about, is it? Is he making sense? Yes, he's making sense. Can I go and also do the research? Hello?
Good morning.
Morning, sir. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
I'm well.
Man, this is long. Man, sorry, man, to ask. What is the topic now on the menu?
No, the topic have expanded. We are speaking about geopolitics. We started with Rwanda and also DRC forming a peace agreement, and so working together to solve this conflict that have been happening for quite a long time. And we also spoke about geopolitics, especially when now the former president of France is in trial, and he's found guilty of accepting money from Gaddafi. That is go back to early 2000. Apparently Gaddafi was funding his campaign. It's quite a very interesting thing. But the content of the matter is looking at the geopolitical economy also, and how we can position ourselves as Africa. Yes.
Yeah, no, I want to chip in, but I want to talk about what's going on now at the General Assembly.
Yeah, yes, you are. Yes, please.
Man, the thing is, many years from now, we have been listening to the leaders that going there talking about this and that.
Yeah.
But what took me, what the interest that I have is the reformation of the Security Council.
Yeah.
You know, every year, whenever, not every year, but whenever the leaders are going there, especially our Namibian leaders from the founding president up to the current one.
Yeah.
This is the topic, because the first I heard it from the founding president was talking about the need to reform the Security Council so that Africa can have a permanent seat and all that. And it's a quite good, but the thing is, are we being heard? That's the question.
That's a very, big question. That it's a very, very big question.
Are we being heard? Because for many years now, our leaders have been saying that, and as of lately, others joined in. For instance, now I was listening to the president of Botswana, Ghana, president of Slovenia, and few other leaders. They are also speaking the same language.
Yeah.
But it seems that as long as the people in the New York or Washington, whatever, they are keeping on voting the insufferable people like Donald Trump and many other leaders, almost every leader in the United States, they will never hit to this call because they make the UN itself, not only Security Council, the whole UN as their personal organizations. And probably they will never listen to the small voices like Namibia and few other African countries that are calling for the reformation.
Yeah, they are saying apparently even if your country has 1 million, there's no smaller country at the international face. Or that is just the saying.
In theory, that is what's supposed to be.
Yeah.
But in practice, it's a different story.
Yeah, you ask a very important question to say, are we being heard? Because, you know, in Africa, it's the same with national politics, to say we need to own our resources. We need to add value to our resources. But the question is that, are we heard, are we being heard, or are we doing what we are saying? Because speaking, I was listening to the speech of our president. It's a very beautiful speech. And I think that is her area of specialization, diplomacy. And I think she was more free at that platform. Mm-hmm. But my question is a question that you're asking, to say, is Africa being heard? And what is the impact of Africa being, and who is going to benefit more when we go to United Nations Security Council with a permanent seat? Because that is where real decisions are being made.
Yeah, because the other problem I have is that Africa is rather more divided.
Yeah.
Which country are you going to choose to represent Africa as a permanent member of UN? Because obviously other countries will contest it as well, and they feel left out. Although it might benefit the whole continent, some other countries might argue that why them? Why not my country? Why not my region? And so forth.
You are asking important questions, because if you are already fighting at Pan African Parliament, who should be the president of the Pan African Parliament? How are we going to agree on who is going to be at the council? But that is something. Maybe let us start with maybe what do you think need to be done?
No, what can be done first, especially in Africa, is that we have regional blocks.
Yeah,
we started regional.
Yeah,
let's say SADC. Yeah. they choose the candidate country.
Okay,
and then the IGAD, whatever.
Yeah.
The East African countries, and then ECOWAS and all that.
Mm.
And then from there, they choose one country. All the countries come together, they present their candidate. Then from those three candidates, they choose one. And then it comes to the AU now.
Mm-hmm.
And then the AU have to confirm that this country is our candidate country.
Mm.
That is what we are going to present at the UN.
Can we?
With a united voice now for the whole African countries now.
Mm-hmm.
I think
there you got the point, because we also need to make sure that we put our house in order, because we can't go that we want to sit, but who is going to sit?
That is the thing.
Yeah, we also need to put our country in order. Now let us look at the way forward, because there's a lot of things which are happening, and analysts, they put us in a very difficult situation, because you give us perspective and very good opinion, but let us look at what do you think really need to be done. Because let us start with Namibia. Eh? There's a lot of things which is happening in the world, whether it's tariffs, all those things. But what do we need to do, especially, I don't want to say young people, but Namibians, to support our development? What do we need to do as a collective to make sure that we don't fall into mistake that we have done in the past 35 years? Because we also had good plans, but we did not achieve what we could have achieved. But what can we do as an ordinary Namibian, from whatever we do, to make sure that at least by 2030 or by 2035 we are somewhere better than how we have been doing things?
The problem I have in this country, especially the youth, unfortunately, I'm no longer a youth now. The problem is like the youth.
Yeah.
They are not interested in these things, especially international affairs or what is happening. Not even international affairs. Some of them, they don't even care what is happening in the country.
Mm-hmm.
They are more interested in a platform where they are dancing, drinking beer and all that.
Yeah.
These are useless things that you only get happy for a few seconds, and then after that, and then you went back to your situation of being angry again. These are the things that people need to be aware of, that current
happiness,
happiness, will take you nowhere. We'll take you nowhere, really. You need to think deeper. You know, I have been a leader for a certain group. I'm still a leader, but I have to be in an organization where I am working.
Yeah.
I've been receiving new entrants that I had to take through the steps. You know what I used to tell them?
Mm.
I used to tell them that each and every second and minute, you are growing older. If you went to sleep, let's say you are 20 years and 33, you are 20 years and 3 hours. When you are going to wake up tomorrow.
you went 8 hours.
Yeah. If you went to sleep, you are 10 years and 3 hours.
Yeah.
When you are going to wake up, you are maybe 20 years and 5 hours ahead. Which means each minute, each second, each hour, you are not going back. You are growing older. And then, when you are going to realize it, you are 30 years.
I hear you.
And then when you realize that you are 30 years, like let's say you, for instance, now many people, they are starting working, let's say 21, 22.
Yeah.
When you are going to realize you are already 32 years, and then you achieve nothing within those few years that you have been working. So these are the things that are, if you are just thinking of entertainment and what, and then really, I'm not saying it's bad to entertain yourself, because the world is full of stresses and all that.
Yeah.
We have to indulge in happiness sometimes. But think, what can you do after 1-2 years when you have been working? Otherwise, I have seen a man, 48 years, but his story is just the cars, the fast cars, beautiful women, the bars, and all that kind of.
And the soccer team.
And the soccer team fighting for Manchester United while he never even... In England or something.
Okay.
It's not bad, but
Okay. Thank you for your input. Ne? Thank you for your input.
Okay. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you much.
All right. Thank you. And we have 8 minutes. We have 8 minutes before we come to the end of our conversation. And it's also a very good thing, because today we were summarizing what had been happening throughout the week by the fact that we have callers. That is quite important. Let's take this caller. Hello?
Hey, David.
Yes, sir.
I'm back, sir.
Yeah, welcome back, as always.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
It's so interesting conversation.
Yeah.
And I think the one that you are just speaking, is it Vitaris? Or? It's not Vitaris, but he sounds like Vitaris.
Oh.
I need to listen and write. But, so, nevertheless,
yeah.
The issue of who to take over, who to do that, and who to represent who and things like that.
Yeah.
As long as that is our position there. And there's nothing that cannot make the General Assembly to accept our candidate. And here within ourselves,
yeah,
and that shouldn't be a problem as yet now.
Yeah.
You know, dogs, you know, you know, all your structures.
Yeah.
Even when there's a position somewhere in those areas, Africa, wherever, you know, they always support each other, isn't it?
And I'm sure
it's not an issue for you to identify a candidate that will represent you now in that, if you have that permanent.
I'm sorry, but I don't agree with you there, because you know what, yeah. When you look at the continental politics of Africa, and I think it's going to change with time. The reason we have been not united, look at the Pan-African Parliament. Now I think it's starting to be okay. How the English speaking, former colonized countries representatives and also the Francophonies are doing.
We educated them and we taught them. That's not the philosophy.
It was not supposed to be them.
Even though there was a fight, that was a justice cause.
I hear you.
To make sure that democracy prevails. So if we just folded our hands, and even though the kingdom of God was also taken by not that kind of violence. I don't agree. There was a war, there was confusion.
Yeah.
And that one, eventually, we put democracy at work.
Democracy with African characteristics. You must end that with.
We promote this kind of Ubuntu.
Yeah.
They even themselves who were actually just, I don't know whether it's, I don't know what kind of word. This is. Stubbornly, or I mean, not maybe that not a proper.
They were resilient.
The way they were fighting, you know, this kind of West African languages. What? And you could hear the women there. The women.
So democracy prevailed.
So please, let's not. That one is a no-go area.
Yeah.
If you are there, you get the position. You might even get two because you have. Why can't you negotiate at your own advantage?
But for now, let's get in. Getting in is a priority number one.
Let's get in there. Yeah. Let's not bring the political of the fighting because of this thing.
Yeah.
This is the structure.
Yes.
So it's not a problem.
Thank you.
Welcome, sir.
Okay.
Yes, we have 5 minutes before we come to the end of our conversation, before we give the mic to Mike to unpack the day. And before we give the mic to Mike, it's quite important also to understand that our e-paper, the Villager newspaper, is out. And it's also important, especially this Friday, to make sure that you get this content, There's quite impactful economic news, especially when you look at the anti-competitive Namibian economy. There's quite an interesting article there that you need to read through at the front page. It's quite an interesting article. And you also, when you go deep into the Villager newspaper, you can also be able to look at the aspect of a coalition encouraging BIG, that is basic income grant, because remember we spoke about social grants the other time, and we also speak about basic income grant, where every Namibian to have a certain amount of money or to get assistance. There was a project which was done at Ochivero and Omitara there. But you need to go and read deep to say where are we standing in terms of basic income grant, what is the progress, what is the ministry saying, and also what is non-governmental organization are saying. And there's also an aspect of housing, especially there's an article there on 43 Havana four-way household to be relocated. This is due to ongoing construction. You need to go and read there. What are the residents saying? What are the contractors saying? What is the way forward? And when you go deep into the village newspaper, you also see application. So see application for a 2026 academic year, University of Namibia. No, education is very important. Do not listen to those who are saying you are going to be educated, you are not going to get a job. Education is more than a job. You may also be able to improve your thinking. You may be able to make your connection. You can innovate and you can also create opportunity. So apply. University of Namibia application is there. And this aspect of data governance is an aspect of data governance. And it's also aspect of no more exclusive arrangement in telecommunication infrastructure. It's an article on network connectivity. And just to get also an update on what's happening in sport, especially what is happening in sport. There's quite an article there. It's quite an article by on cycling by HD. It's an article on cycling. What is the update on the ongoing or what have happened, especially on regarding the cycling competition, and also when you go deep again, there is also advertisement from advertisement. There is a sale. Go and read. So from USave, you can buy your groceries and many other items. So, dear listeners, thank you very much for listening to Early Morning Scoop. And I'm going to leave you in the good hands of Michael Shoveri to unpack the day. And from me, David Shombe, bye-bye for now. And see you next time, same place, same time. And continue listening. And don't forget to download the app. Don't forget to download the app. And also, do not forget also to like and share our page. So bye-bye for now.